Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Nick gave Ronnie a warning.
I get the impression that real communists do actually lurk behind the guitars and banjos of the hootenanny stage.
Introducing in this episode,
Davy Shine, McCarthy investigator. Did his heart belong to Daddy, or did every little breeze seem to whisper Maurice?
Ronnie Gilchrist, Martha Washington Hotel for Women, New York City. March 19th. Dear Mr. Caraway, thank you so much for responding to my letter. It means a lot to me that we can still be friends. Well, to make a long story short, Mr. Scheinblum was calling about the Weavers. Have you ever heard of them? They're the folk music group that Senator McCarthy was asking me about. They had that big hit song, Goodnight Irene. Anyway, he's an executive at Decca Records, and he manages them or something, and he said he'd seen a kinescope of me playing the banjo on Snicklepoo and wanted me to come in and audition for them. He said he'd pay my way to New York. So I decided to come. I mean, I couldn't just sit around in Winnetka and listen to my mother. Still, I was scared to death. Luckily, I met this nice girl at the Martha Washington Hotel for Women, where I'm staying. Her name is Jackie Suzanne, and she wants to be a writer, and she gave me a pill to calm my nerves. I'm not sure what it was, but it really helped when I went in to see Mr. Scheinblum. He told me that Mr. Seeger, who is one of the ones that started the group, might have to leave because of trouble with the government, and they might need a replacement. I said, but I'm a girl, and he just laughed and patted my knee and said he knew that. Isn't that funny? And he wanted me to come in and meet the Weavers the next day. You'll never guess who I got a call from that night. Do you remember little Johnny Phillips, one of the Snickle kids on my very first show? He's a teenager now, and I guess he's in the mailroom or something at Decca Records. Anyway, he'd heard about me auditioning for the Weavers and wanted me to show them some arrangements he'd been working on. He has all these ideas for four-part harmonies with two men and two girls. They're a little weird, I guess, but they sounded really good to me, or maybe it was just those pills that Jackie gave me. Johnny was so sweet. He said I'd been sort of like a mama to him, and I was a bit embarrassed, but I told him we all need mamas and papas. Anyway, when I got into Mr. Scheinblum's offices the next morning, that was this morning, it all just happened. The Weavers were all there, except for Mr. Seeger. There was Mr. Lee Hayes, who is this big teddy bear, so cute, and Ronnie Gilbert, she's the one who has the name that sounds like mine, that made Senator McCarthy so mixed up. And there's another one they introduced me to him, too, but I can't remember his name now. I guess I was too nervous. I tried to show them Johnny's arrangements, but Mr. Hayes laughed and said they don't read music. He told me just to sing some songs that I knew. So I sang John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith, and Mr. Hayes joined in on the chorus, but the others didn't seem to like it much. Then I tried Heisa the Little Leathering Bat, and they all joined in on the howdy-dowdy part. I thought it sounded really good, and Mr. Hayes clapped when I played my banjo break. Then I thought I should sing something to show them that I wouldn't be trouble with the government, so I sang God Bless America. When I finished, Miss Gilbert kind of stared at me, and the other man said he was going to go get some fresh air, and Mr. Hayes took Mr. Scheinblum aside, and Mr. S. told me to go back to the hotel, and he'd talk to me later. When he called, he said it wasn't going to work out with the Weavers, but he's invited me to come up to his apartment this weekend to work with me on some new material. He's so nice. But here's where I need your advice. He wants to bill me as the Little Red Thrush. I'm worried it will remind people of Senator McCarthy's committee. What do you think? I can't go back to Winnetka. Hoping all is well with you, your friend, Ronnie Gilchrist.
Roy M. Cohn, Esquire, Office of the Honorable Joseph McCarthy, Senate Office Building, Washington, D.C., March 20th, 1953.
Davy, it looks good for the Senator being able to keep you out of the draft, but we need to make sure that the world knows you're an important part of the Senator's crusade against the communist menace. I'm thinking of a fact-finding trip to Europe which will give us high visibility, at least in the daytime. What facts, you ask? I don't know, but we'll find some. Anyway, Evan and I have been promising you we'd take a vacation, just the two of us. The Europeans are a bunch of immoral pigs, but they do have some nice hotels. Don't forget to pack your purple briefs. You know the ones I mean. And that torn t-shirt, my little Stanley Kowalski. Ooh la la. Love, Daddy.
G. David Shine, Hay Adams Hotel, Washington, D.C., March 22nd, Sunday.
Dear Christine, congratulations on the operation, but I have to admit I've got mixed feelings. You were such a cute boy. Daddy's taking me to Europe. He says there are a bunch of immoral pigs over there. I can hardly wait. Not sure where we'll be. Germany, I know, and Paris. I'd say let's get together, but I don't think so. You know how jealous Daddy gets. Anyway, you're not my type anymore, ha ha. Davy.
P.S. We're looking for Reds. Know any?
Ronnie Gilchrist, Martha Washington Hotel for Women, New York City. March 22nd. Dear Mr. Caraway, just a quick note to tell you something I overheard last night at Mr. Scheinblum's apartment when he was talking on the phone. That horrid little Mr. Cohn from the McCarthy Committee is going to Europe to look for communists or something. Mr. Scheinblum laughed and said he should be able to find some communists in Europe, for God's sake, but if you really wanted a challenge, he'd go to Russia. I'm not sure where he actually will be going, but I did hear Mr. S. mention Paris, where you are. I know it has nothing to do with you, but you be careful just the same. I don't like that, Mr. Cohn. Mr. S. has arranged for me to open for Josh White at the Village Vanguard next week. I am scared to death, but I've been working like mad, and I have learned some new songs, like Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream, which is pretty and has a real message. Mr. S. has found an apartment for me on McDougal Street, which is right in Greenwich Village, so I won't be at the Martha Washington Hotel for Women anymore. I'll miss Jackie and the other girls, but Mr. Scheinblum says it will be more comfortable and private having a place of my own. Anyway, I'm beginning to feel a little funny about the pills Jackie gives us. I really worry about Carol Landis and Barbara, and especially Judy. Sometimes they're so fun, and then all of a sudden they seem to go so... Oh, I don't know. I guess I'm just being silly, and I know Jackie says there's no harm in the pills, but maybe I'm better off moving. If you want to write me, the new address is Apartment C, 14 and a half McDougal Street, New York, 12, New York. I am so nervous about where my career is going, and this whole Little Red Thrush thing, it is the last thing in the world I ever imagined myself doing, living in New York City and being a part of the whole folk music scene, but I don't know what else to do. Anyway, you watch out for Mr. Cohn. Your friend always, Ronnie.
Jake and Jake was written and directed by Jonathan Richards and Tad Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Natasha Warner as Ronnie Gilchrist, Darren Dunbar as Davy Shine, and Scott Thomas as Roy Cohn. Tune in next time to hear Nick say,
"I paid no attention to a couple at the next table. When my friend Jake Barnes arrived to join me, he identified them as the famous writers and existentialist philosophers Simone de Beauvoir and Jean-Paul Sartre."